Parshas Balak begins with the pasuk saying, "Vayar Balak ben Sippor is kol asher asa Yisrael le'amori." Balak saw, that's the key word, Vayar, he saw everything that Bnei Yisrael did to the Amorim. Fought them, they were matzliach, they were successful. All of a sudden he's all scared. They're going to come and take us over, they're going to kill us, they're going to wipe us out. We have to take on this nation. Now, what was he so scared about? If he would have looked into exactly what happened with Sichon, just a few psukim earlier, he would have known that Bnei Yisrael just wanted to pass through their land, innocently, without causing any problems. And Sichon came in and said, "Well, we're going to fight you. Instead of just letting you through peacefully, we're going to take you on." And therefore, because of defense, Bnei Yisrael fought against them and won. But they weren't going to go ahead necessarily and take them on. Really, if Moab would have just left them alone, if Balak would have just left the Jewish people alone, there was no danger. But Balak saw a little piece of the story. He saw, well, these people are dangerous, and he got scared. He didn't look at the entire picture. He made a decision based on a small piece of information. And we find that he goes ahead and he tells Bilam, "Come with me, you're going to help me take on this entire nation." And at the end of Parakhov Beis, the Pasuk says, "Vayhi vaboker, vayikach Balak es Bilam, Balak took Bilam, vayaleo bamos Baal, vayar misham kitzei ha'am." And he showed him the edge of the nation. Why is that significant, that he showed him the edge of the nation? The Torah is trying to highlight that he showed him only a little part of Bnei Yisrael. He didn't show them the entire nation, what they're made of, what he's up against. A little part, that's enough. Just look a little and let's go. Let's take them on. This is in contrast to Bnei Yisrael. When Bnei Yisrael sent the Meraglim, it says that they went into Eretz Yisrael and they wanted to know what language the people living there were speaking. And the Maharal asks in the Gur Ari in the beginning of Devarim, he says, who cares? You know, it's not like they had walkie-talkies in those days. It wasn't like they would intercept messages. I understand you need to know, is it mountainous? Is it dry? Is it hot? Is it cold? We need to know. We're going to go in. We're going to fight. We need to know what we're in for. But who cares what language they're speaking? And the Maharal says that the way a person speaks is reflective of who the person really is. By getting to know, getting inside the person and seeing how he speaks, you really know what type of person. Are they sly? Are they tricky? Are they smart? Are they not? You'll be able to figure out by learning and understanding the language that they speak. Meaning they went in, Bnei Yisrael went in, they said, we don't just want to know what the land looks like. We got to see the whole picture. We have to understand every little bit of this people before we go ahead and attack. But Balak was the exact opposite. That will show you a little piece of the nation, see a little part of the story, and that's enough for me to make a decision how I'm going to go ahead and tackle an entire nation which was just successful against the greatest king. The Medrash says that it's seeing. It was the Vayar that was the downfall of Balak. And the Medrash quotes many other instances throughout Chumash where right before you saw someone do something that would bring about his downfall, the Pasuk says, Vayar. When you see something, it's not enough to just look at a little piece of the picture. You have to look at the entire thing. And Bilam, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth parak, had an eye in Ra. He had an issue seeing. He had a bad eye. He was not able to see in the full extent. And that's highlighted by the Pasuk when Bilam is introducing his third nevuah, his third prophecy. The Pasuk says, Nu'um Bilam b'no b'or, he's introducing himself, Nu'um agever shesuma ayin. He's a shesuma ayin. What does that mean? He's a pierced eye. Rashi has two explanations. Either he was missing the entire eyeball, it was a hole, there was nothing there, or he was blind in one eye. But either way, he was only able to see with one eye. Why is that important? Well, who cares what he was made up of? Because the Torah is telling us symbolically that Bilam was looking at with a half an eye, half a job. He didn't look at the entire picture. He didn't see what he was up against. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it worth it? Is it not? And that, at the end of the day, brought about his downfall. And it's a lesson for all of us. Many times in life, we're making decisions. When we make decisions about our life, about who we're going to interact with, how we're going to spend our day, very often we're quick to jump, based on a little piece of information, to a certain direction. And very often, it brings about a lot of problems. There was a certain Rav who helped people who were married, that were having difficulties, to achieve Shalom Bayis. And any time a couple would come over, he'd make sure that none of his children were around. This is private, kids, out of here. There's one time, a lady comes in, she says, "That's it, I had it, enough. He's doing this to me, he's doing that to me, he's driving me crazy, I can't deal with it anymore, he's ruining everything, I want to get, Rabbi, help me out." So he said, "Look, I'd love to help you. You know, come back tomorrow, and I want to speak to your husband first." So he sends a message to the husband. "I want to speak to you. The Rav wants to speak to you." The husband comes in. He says, "So, you know, how are things going?" "Oh, I can't take it anymore. My wife, all she does all day long is yelling at the kids, yelling at me. She doesn't get anything done. Nothing is functional. I had it till here." He says, "Okay, I'd like both of you to come back tomorrow together." The man walks out, the husband walks out, and the rabbi sees that one of his sons are standing behind the door and was listening in on what happened between the lady and the husband. So he goes to his son and he says, "What were you thinking when the lady came in and told her side of the story?" He said, "Oh, I felt so bad for her. An abused woman, battered. Oh, I just hope she could get out of this one." "And what were you thinking the next day when the man came out of giving me his side of the story?" "Oh, I realize it's all her fault. I mean, he's a tzaddik, this guy. Look what he has to go through every single day." And he said, "That's what you see, that you never, ever, ever could hear one side of the story. You never, no matter how convincing, and no matter how enthusiastic and passionate a person speaks, you never could just take that and say, oh, that's the way it is." And it's a halacha. Halacha in Choshen Mishpat, in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to even hear the tzaddim of a certain person, not allowed to even hear what their claims are, if the other person isn't present. Why? Because you need to see the dynamic. You need to see, how's this guy reacting when he speaks? There's a lot to see, there's a lot to understand. When you just hear something, you just hear it on the phone, you just hear a speech, and the person's emotional, he's getting all into it, you're going to be quick to make a decision, you're going to be quick to take a side, and you might be missing the boat in a very, very big way. On Sunday, we're about to enter into the period of the Shavasa Batamas, Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks mourning destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk tells us in Parsha Shmini that there are four different animals that aren't kosher. One of them being the pig. And the Kli Yakar quotes a Medrash, that the Medrash tells us that the pig is different than the other three. Because while the other three don't have the two signs, don't have both of the signs that are needed to be kosher, they don't chew its cud and have split hooves, they just chew its cud, the pig is different because the pig doesn't chew its cud, but it does have split hooves. And the Medrash says that that's what the pig does when he rolls over. He sticks up his legs as if to say, "Look, here, look at me, I'm kosher." Because you just see the outside, the external, you see the split hooves. And that's why the pig is the quintessential treif animal. Because on the outside, it looks kosher. But deep inside, that's not what it is. It's no better than the others. And the Medrash goes along and says that each one of the four animals represents one of the four galios, exiles, that the Jewish people have gone through. The fourth one, the one that we're still in, the galus of Edom, which started with the Roman Empire, that's represented by the pig. And he says that you see many leaders amongst the people in the exile, people that are driving the ship, running the show, the people that everyone's looking up to, maybe the only person that the entire United States would speak to in third person. These leaders, they're committed to justice. They have certain ideals, but they might have hidden agendas. Or their personal conduct doesn't reflect everything that they're preaching. It's like the pig on the outside, Looks good. On the inside, not exactly there. And that is the gullus that we find ourselves in. It's a gullus, it's an exile of superficiality. If that's not a word, it is now. Things are superficial. The way we communicate with one another, that we're able to have intense conversations. I was just dealing with a certain person in Chutzlar, it has a long-distance relationship with a girlfriend, and they had a heavy, heavy conversation all on text. And I heard his side, I heard her side, and then I realized, like 10 minutes later into the conversation, that the whole conversation happened on text. I said, how could you speak about such a thing, texting? You don't see the person, you don't hear a voice, you don't know what's going on, it's all superficial. It's all fake, you don't really know what's going on in the person. We all know when you see someone, and you see how they move, you see the way their facial expressions, you see what they're doing with their hands while they're speaking to you. You know, there's a lot more to the story than just what you hear, just the words. But we're plagued by it. We're plagued by looking at the outside, not seeing the entire picture. And we have to take that as a lesson. There was a study done on 200 of the top CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. And they found that the majority, a heavy majority, were all over 6 feet tall, good looking. What does that do with it? How could that be? Because when you see a tall guy, it's like, wow, he for sure could run my company. Right? It's all from the outside. It's all the external. We make huge decisions based on that. We can make decisions about who we're going to marry. We can say, nah, not for me, because look at this tech. Look what was said over here. Totally could be misunderstood. And we fall into it. We fall into that trap of the Edom, of the exile, that is trying to be pushed upon us. We can't make the mistake of Balak. We can't make the mistake of Bilam. We have to make sure that every move that we make is always taking into account the entire picture. Seeing, looking, investigating, and then being able to move forward in order that we're able to be successful in our lives.